You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey. Formerly Bulletproof Radio. You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey. And I'm here with our guest. And we're doing competitive yoga. So we have these tiny stools in my studio. And when I say tiny, I mean they're the size of the saucer you would put your espresso on. And we're supposed to be putting our butts on these. Now, it's my studio. So why am I doing this? I don't actually know. But Jewel Arns, our guest, is sitting cross-legged. And it's like, how do you do that? Oh, hold on. I think I got it. So I'm trying to look at that. All right. There we go. So we're going to do this sitting in lotus pose, because that's the only way I can do it on these little teacup things. Guys, we got to get new stools here. All right. That was a great introduction. What do you think?
I love it. I hope you actually use it.
I think we will. All right. Guys, Jewel's been on the show before, and she runs a company called BioQuantum. And I'm just going to be straightforward. When I first heard about her products, part of me was like, okay, they have something called Ormus in them. And I know about Ormus. I've looked at making my own years ago. Ormus is an ancient alchemical longevity substance that probably was used even back in Egypt. And it's a unique form of gold and some of the other heavy metals, or they're called rare platinum elements or rare earth elements, platinum, palladium, stuff like that. Not polonium. That one doesn't count. Could you do this with polonium?
I don't even know what polonium is.
Polonium is a very highly radioactive element. 1 gram could kill a million people. And it's what the Russians like to use to assassinate people, to say, look, we did it, but you can't prove it. But only a superpower can make polonium. So I don't think you should do that.
I would say, let's stay away from that.
But Iron Man could do it.
I mean, isn't that the goal?
All right. So anyway, okay, here's this person. I don't know her. She's putting this stuff that I know has a very rich history. I also know there's people who say that they have Ormus who probably don't, because they maybe don't know how to make it. And there's probably two reliable recipes. One's from the Templars and the other is from some other groups. And this goes back into like the weird angles of really ancient alchemy and wizardry and stuff like that, right? And so call me a little bit skeptical. My job is to be curious, not skeptical. If you're skeptical, you should get a therapist, because you've been radicalized. Whether you're a skeptic or not, you know, a skeptic or just a true believer in everything, either way, dude, you're running a program and it's not yours. Mm. So I'm like, I'm curious, but I'm also like, people send me buckets of stuff and I'm like, I wouldn't actually give this to my dog. Like, I'm not an apologist, but like, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to put it on the show. And sometimes I'll just share it with the community. And other times I'm like, this actually isn't, like, it isn't food. I don't know what to do with it. Like, someone brought by 4 frozen vegan meals of like vegan rigatoni or something. And I tried giving them away to like 6 people and they're all no thanks. And so I finally just like, I want to compost it, but I like my worms. And I don't want to poison the worms of this processed food product. I'm like, what do I do with it? Right. So I...
Homeless shelter.
I burned it.
You burned it.
Okay. Yeah, but I made an offering to the universal spirit when I burned it. Was that the right thing to do?
If it felt right, it was right. I trust in your intuition.
Anyway, what I'm saying here is you had to run through my BS detector. And we talked. And I don't like your product still, right? And it's not that I don't use it. And the reason I don't like it is I don't really know how it works, right? But, and that's to say, I actually like it because it works, but I like understanding how systems of things work together. And most of the things I use, I'm like, well, you're doing this and it's this pathway and this. I also have been to the Himalayas and the Andes and learned meditation from different lineages. And I do all that stuff. That maybe people are less familiar with, because like, he's the guy who puts butter in coffee. Like, did you see the asterisk? It was from Yak Butter Tea on the side of the holiest mountain in the world. So like, I'm down with the stuff you do.
Yeah.
But I still want to know how it works. So I put your your scalar formula on a scar on the back of my hand, and it got better way faster than any of the other stuff that I was using. And I have all the cool stuff that you can have. So I do use your formula. I also do other things, just to be super clear. And I don't use just one thing. I use all the things that might work, but yours is definitely on the list because it works when nothing else did. And that's why I was like, let's get back on and talk about you and what your work is so that people can understand what bioquantum skincare is and why they might want to take a look at it. You ready for some tough questions?
I'm going to do my best.
Okay. So you have 3 decades of energy medicine, just deep consciousness work, and people who've seen you in person, like you have these like deep eyes and you have this open heart and you're like, you know, like walking around yoga teacher.
I think it's so funny that you see them, because I don't see myself that way.
You're making Teal Swan look like she's got work to do here. Oh. I'm just kidding. Do you know Teal?
I'm going to take that and I'm just going to like actually say that you said that was true.
So Teal Swan was just sitting here when she was doing an event in town. We're friends as well. And she's also got like that deep vibe and you know, connection to things. And people can tell. Like there's people who just walk around in a different state than normal humans spend most of their time. And you're one of those people. So I want to put that out there. Like apparently your energetic stuff does something because you can tell when you talk to her. Most people would say that, right?
I'm just going to say thank you.
Look at you just defend against spiritual ego.
I'm not. I am. I'm receiving it in my heart and I really mean that. Like, thank you.
But it's not going to give you like a spiritual ego attack.
Oh, dude, I'm taking it all the way.
Okay. So like, what if I said like your meditation waves were stronger than mine? Would that like make you feel good about yourself?
I would say I didn't want to go there. Let's not measure things in order to find evidence. Let's just listen to our heart center and move forward.
The reason I did that, this is a story you might not know. Guys, we're going to get into skincare in a minute, but like I'm getting to like...
This is so much better.
Yeah, we're talking about consciousness stuff. So there's a time, this is back in the 90s, Stanford neuroscientists brought monks from some monastery in Tibet out to measure their brainwaves. And one of the guys sits down before they put the electrodes on his head, closes his eyes and goes deep into his thing and does a thing. And the EEG machine starts registering his brainwaves before it's connected. Now, this actually can happen. If you don't believe me, put your cell phone near an EEG and the field from the cell phone can set off an EEG. I know 40 years in manufactures our own EEG equipment now, so we have to control for interference. I also know that I've put several gurus on EEG, and as soon as they go into their intense states, they white out the machine. I can't record their data because they interfere with the same guys who break wireless microphones. Like you have to give them a wired mic. Are you one of those?
Well, I don't know because I've never really had that done. But what I do have is we have, I think it's the neural check from BrainTap makes it.
Okay, right.
Okay. So
heart rate variability,
it won't read me.
Interesting. So you're likely one of those people who can, in some states, interfere with electronics. If you're listening going, Dave, you're full of crap. Let me finish the story. So the scientists are amazing. Oh my gosh, he must have such a big brain. We can't wait to look at it. And all of a sudden the brainwave stopped. And the monk stands up. He goes, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And I said, why? He said, well, when you told me that my brainwaves are so strong, I had such a strong ego attack that I lost my state. So now I need to go meditate for a few hours to get back into the state. So he left and he came back and then he did his brainwaves and they were super high. And it turns out spiritual ego is one of the most dangerous types of ego and one of the hardest ones. It's what takes down gurus. I've had a couple of gurus who've been taken down for cheating on their wives and things like that. My friend Dawa Tarshan Phillips, who talks about it openly. You know, when people think of you as a guru and you take it in and you're like, I am the great guru, that's when you're going to bang your followers, right? Mm. And I also do my best to protect myself. Like, I do not want to be a guru. It's kind of a gross energy, to be honest. Like, let me help you. I can serve you, but I'll teach you. But it's different than like, you know, kiss the ground I walk on kind of thing.
I think that's how I see myself. For me, it's, I want to teach others to find their own empowerment. And I have tools that seem to work in doing that. And if I can help you attune to frequency to better your life, amazing. And what I love about the work that I do is that it seems to attract people that are ready to do the work. And that's one of the reasons I love you and the people that do want to learn from you, because they're just not learning to learn, they're learning to do. And that doing part is the most important part in whatever we're doing. We can learn all day long, but if we're not actually doing what we're learning, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, learning for learning's sake is kind of like being a stamp collector. Like I'm the guy who sends letters. I don't collect the stamps, right?
Mm.
Okay. Last May, when you were on the show, you said you didn't listen to podcasts, and I admitted that I've listened at this point to probably less than 12 podcast episodes of any podcast ever, because I make them. And you mentioned that you had started listening to a couple episodes of The Human Upgrade.
And I haven't listened to one since.
Okay, well, at least you heard one. But now, I'm going to take credit for the fact that you now have your own podcast called Becoming BioQuantum. So is that, can I like make myself, my ego even bigger? Because I caused Jules Arnes to start a podcast.
Okay, so I have had a podcast before that one. But what I will say is I just absolutely have no idea how to answer that question. But I hope everybody does come and listen to the podcast and likes and subscribes to our YouTube channel, because we're trying to get enough followers that I can get my book to somebody that won't even take a look at me until I have more.
That works. So you're really fun to interview, because one of my love languages is putting words in other people's mouths that make them uncomfortable. Right. So I keep trying to do it to you, and you're like so adept at not saying whatever it is and just sort of gently deflecting it in a non-offensive way. And I swear by the end of this interview, I'm going to get you to say something offensive.
Oh, is that the goal here?
Oh, when you say it, I'm going to make fun of you. Just so you know.
Okay, I'm down. Let's do it. I love being made fun of.
Me too. I'm just teasing. But I do think it's cool that you did a podcast, because it is a way to share knowledge and hopefully to be amusing. So people, they learn things and they can feel who you are. Right now, if you go to Amazon and you search for anything, there's like 500 brands that are just randomly assembled letters, like QRXBcom. And like, what is, like, I just wanted to buy a pencil, and they're all the same product. They're all going to fall apart. They're all made of like, you know, some sort of toxic elements, all coming from the same factory near some polluted river in China. But you don't know who's behind the brand. You don't know what the brand is. And there's a proliferation of people who saw a YouTube video. It's like, you too can get rich with white labeling and drop shipping. And like, guys, you're not adding any value to the world. You're just adding chaos. Like, make something new, make something different, make something better instead of copying something. And I swear, if I see anyone out there, here's how you can ethically steal someone else's website. Dude, that's not ethical. It's just stealing, right? The fact that some douchebag on the internet says you're doing that, that's a problem. So what I like to do with podcasts is let people see who you are, right? And then you can feel it from your voice and they can see you and go, oh, this is a real brand versus one of the internet marketing 101 brands, which are gross.
It took me a while to figure out where you were going with all of that, but yes.
Thanks for sticking with me.
I agree. You're welcome. That's my goal.
That was a nice nag. I mean, you're insulting me here, just but in a spiritual way.
No, it did take me a while. I was like, why is he talking about pencils? But now I think that I also want to say right now that that's another reason that I really like you, because you do research what you put out there. You don't just represent somebody to represent them. You represent them because there's something in you that either did the research or had an experience. And that's really valuable.
I reject a lot of things. There are people out there that, like, Dave, you'll talk about anything. You know, you represent all this. Yeah. I started what's now between a $10 and $63 billion industry category called biohacking. And I'm not the only guy who does stuff. And I'll talk about the good stuff and I will ignore the bad stuff. And I feel like that's why you listen. And if people have a hard time with that, should probably maybe find a different show. I would suggest the Joe Rogan show for you. You'll love it. Now, that's really funny for longtime listeners. For everyone else, like, why did you say that? If you would like to know, just Google Joe Rogan Dave Asprey, and maybe you'll find the three episodes with me he deleted. Ooh.
Oh, okay. There's some research to be done here.
Now, one of the other reasons that I wanted to chat with you, we got into this a little bit on the last episode, is that some of the people who really influenced me probably the biggest one was Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Biology of Belief, one of the first guys to ever clone a cell, who became a really spiritual guy. And even my pregnancy book was largely based on his work. And biohacking is a restatement of epigenetics. And Bruce Lipton is probably the biggest name who first talked about that. So you're working within his sphere of spiritual and science, plus Greg Braden, who's been on the show, and David Sinclair, who's been on the show. So we kind of walk in similar circles, but you're wearing like flowy white robes and have like candles and flowers and stuff, right? Crystals, lots of crystals.
I have no crystals.
Are you joking?
I'm not. I'm not even kidding. I'm nomading right now, and everything I own is in a 3x5 storage unit, and I have my suitcase and my dog.
And there's no crystals even on your dog's collar?
Nothing. I don't do, I know it's crazy. Everyone thinks, she does yoga, she does meditation every day, and I just live in the field, right?
So you like are crystals, what you're saying?
I am the crystal.
There you go. As soon as I say that, your whole body's like, all right.
Turn on that frequency.
it's kind of surprising because I met this guy once and he was a member of, I'm just going to call it probably a cult-like thing. And if you're listening, no offense, but you kind of look like that with your van. And these guys had crystals, but they were like long crystals with magnets tightly wrapped with copper wire around them to create stress on the crystal, which creates piezoelectric flow, which makes the crystals have healing energy, which you can measure coming out of them, whether you want to say it's healing or not. And they actually gifted me one, which I thought was really cool. These are made by the guy who, this movie a long time ago in the 80s called, I think, Little Buddha. Do you know about this movie? Not the 90s one. It was an early one. Well, this guy was born to some Midwest family. They're Baptist or Methodist or something. And one day, monks knock on the door in saffron robes, shaved heads and everything. And they're like, "We come from Tibet. Your baby is our teacher. And we had dreams about this." And they're like, "Get out of here." And like, no. So they finally convinced to go in. And they would lay out like things owned by the previous incarnation, like his hairbrush or like his fork or whatever. And the baby would always pick the one that was owned, like every single time. So eventually this kid's like 5 years old and going with his parents to teach the monks. And he grew up, and you go to his webpage. I'm sorry, guys, I'll have to remember what it is and put it in the show notes or something. But he's like, "I am the reincarnation of Jesus." He's like, "I didn't expect that life to end that way. And all I am is a healer, but now I make these crystals." I'm like, my mind is blown. But I kind of thought you would have one of those crystals. You don't. So how do you tune in? Because most people I know who do attunement stuff either use crystals or at least have them floating around. I got a crystal or two on my desk that people gift me and all. I don't primarily use them as my modality, but I have. So how do you tune into the frequencies you tune into when you do your meditation stuff to put frequencies in your skincare stuff?
Right. I actually love this question. So way back in the day when I did an apprenticeship with a Lakota medicine woman, her name was Eva White Desert Eagle. And before, I have to admit, before then, I loved doing psychedelics and I loved to master them consciously. And what I would do is when I would take them, I would try to get, I don't know if everybody has this experience, but this is what my experience is, especially with mushrooms, is when you start to get drawn into the trip itself, that you have the ability to kind of pull out of it and move on top of the trip. And that there's a field and a frequency up there to where you actually can see everything that's happening down here, but you're doing it from a different perspective or a frequency. And that was, I would take things and go to school and see if I could still hold my consciousness on top of the trip. And I don't know. That was just my thing. I loved doing it. So then when I met Eva, she said, "No more. I'm going to teach you how to hold consciousness there without drugs. And so she did. And we did a lot of sweat lodges. We did a lot of ceremonies. I did a day on the hill, which is actually 3 days on the hill. And
What's a day on the hill?
So a day in the hill is when you prepare for a year and you get these saplings and you basically sit in a square of trees that is the length of your body. Mm-hmm. And you sit for 3 days, 3 nights with no food or water in the same place.
What if something tries to eat you?
Nobody tried to eat me.
Okay, just checking.
No thing tried to eat me.
I did 4 days in a cave in similar circumstances, but I was allowed to leave the cave, so I got
okay. I wasn't allowed to leave, but anyways, so those are the sort of things we did. But she also had a lot of, I guess, like the ceremonies in themselves were how to release that frequency in the brain. And then be able to match it consciously. So I did, that's when I kind of became obsessed with reprogramming the mind. And a lot of my work was around that after I worked with her. But all of a sudden, I started to realize, okay, well, if we can release this frequency, and that frequency is very similar to when I was doing psychedelics, why wouldn't it be that all the time? And so that just kind of became my practice. And so I stopped meditating, actually, and everything was more active meditation. So everything was, am I in that field or am I not? Am I in the field or am I not? And I got really good at it.
So you guys heard it here first. Jules Arns quit meditating.
I quit meditating.
Doesn't that make you like not as spiritual of a person as someone who meditates?
I feel like meditation is a step towards living your life in the awareness that meditation brings you.
Oh, so you're more advanced than people who meditate?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think it's a tool. I guess the tool would be when you're meditating to bring what you learned in the state of consciousness of being aware of your thoughts into your life afterwards.
Look at the way you dodged the fact that you just dissed everyone. I'm so impressed with that.
I don't feel like I did. I don't have anything against meditation. And if meditation brings you peace, then keep doing it.
And I'm really preparing to interview for a job as a newscaster for either one of the biased networks that are out there. I don't really know which one, but I'm just trying to put words in people's mouths. So thank you for allowing me to practice on you because you deflected all of it. So yet again, foiled.
Well, we just need a little more practice.
So you enjoy making me fail, is what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying we need a little more practice.
Dang, you're a tough nut to crack. I'm going to get you. All right. But your point there about meditation, guys, this is real. If you meditate enough, you're always meditating. And people ask me this, what's your meditation practice? I'm like, every week or two, I sit in my living room. I have a setup with the 40 years of Zen gear and I put electrodes on my head and I go into these really altered states without drugs. And that's enough that I go places and then the rest of the time I can just tune in when I want to. Like you can choose your state, which is actually a very free place to be. Doesn't mean I can't ever be triggered. I'm going to have a phone call later today with someone where I'm preparing to not be triggered because it's going to take work to not be triggered because it's someone who's been messing around with one of my businesses. And also like the unpleasant parts of running a business. But I'm not going to be triggered on that. But I can tell that I would be triggered if I wasn't aware of what's going on here, right? When people act out of integrity and all. When's the last time you got triggered?
Actually, it wasn't that long ago. Maybe last Friday. And it doesn't happen very often. But I also feel like when you're triggered, okay, I'm going to back up. For me, being triggered feels like bringing out my badass, and I say that word, mm-hmm. and I have a persona that I step into when I need to be a badass.
Does she have a name?
No, I should give her one. I know she does. For right now, I'll just call her my badass.
I wanna, what would her name be? Just channel it real quick.
Okay, Francine.
All right, Francine the badass.
I can't be too serious about it. It has to.
There's her and her friend Maud. They're very dangerous.
All right, so Francine, I'll step into Francine, but it's like there's not a chemical reaction in it. It's more of a persona. I hope that makes sense. So my body like knows. Oh, we're going into to the badass mode. And I pretty much sound the same every single time when I'm in badass mode. And I hope that's like answering your question, because I feel like we can get to a place where we can actually, like, I'm sure you're going to do this with your conversation. Like, you already know that there's going to be a certain part of you that's going to come out if you were to be triggered. But then if we have that awareness ahead of time, we can kind of create that persona and let the frequency of the persona that's more organic, because it's maybe not organic, maybe it's more attuned.
So you're talking about like multiple personality disorder.
Or just being able to channel persona. I love that. But you know what? I mean, aren't we all like, We're choosing it with awareness and using it to stay centered.
If you chose it, it wasn't triggered. That's
exactly.
The thing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You can be a Swiss Army knife, and you know, I don't generally walk around like you will die. But I tell you, if I'm walking somewhere and someone walks up and threatens my kids, they don't have to come anywhere near me to know that they need to back off. And that's just an energetic state. Right. And it's because their underlying quantum field and nervous system understands that they're with a predator, because I can resonate with predator vibes, and they're really straightforward. Like, I will kill and eat you. And when people feel that, they back off. Right. You don't have to actually do it for them to feel it. That's more of a masculine thing. Right. But I know women who can do that too. Right. You know, we all have the ability to go into these states. Right. There's a reason we call it Mama Bear. Right.
Yes.
So we all have the protector in us. It's just whether you chose it or it was triggered.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And I feel like we all, I think for us that have practiced and then those that are practicing, you can tell when your body's about to go into a chemical reaction. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, there's choice, right? Well, I can either fully let this take over me, and then it's going to alter the way that I think, and I'm probably going to react, or I can actually move back into my center, calm that down, and then have the choice of, oh, okay, well, this is triggering me for a reason. What can I bring, like, what persona can I bring in to step into from a place of awareness and not from the trigger? And so that's what I kind of play in. And it's, I'm not perfect by any means, but I do enjoy playing with it.
I love that answer. And it's, you know, from someone who has mastered meditation. I teach about equanimity. First you have empathy, and then you have compassion, and then eventually you have equanimity, which means you get to choose your state instead of the state getting chosen for you. And when you can do that stuff, well, now you guys understand something about the person behind bioquantum, and that a lot of spiritual work goes there. One of the things that I know you can do, because I do the same thing, is your intention matters when you create something. Just the Buddhists will teach, like, the person who cooks your food, if it's not you, they put love in the food. In fact, the fewer people who touch your food, the better, because they might have bad energy. And so when I create a product, I know there's intention in it. Like, there's a reason when I was at Bulletproof, good things were happening. And as we moved 3 years ago, Bulletproof is now owned entirely by some other investment bank. And all of my intention goes into Danger Coffee now, because who knows what you might do, right? Something good, probably. And the intention makes people feel different, but you have to know who's behind the company, or you just know you tried it and it feels good. How much of the fact that you're... your scalar 33 Ormus activator, the stuff that worked on my hand, how much of that is coming from your intention versus the ingredients?
One thing I love about Ormus is that it is transitional, right? I would say a lot of it is intention. Okay. And a lot of it is when it's being created, it's being in that state above the trip. I'm just going to say.
Above the trip.
Above the trip.
Have you ever thought of the tagline by a quantum? Above the trip.
I know, right? Would people understand that? And I feel like there's some people that do, right? Mm-hmm. It's when you master a trip, you move into that frequency. As I call it, source frequency. They measure it at 963. And, you know, whether we really care about all that. It's just putting words to a state of consciousness.
I feel like when people put a number on my frequency, like they're labeling me. Do you ever have that problem? Because that's funny, because before the show, we were talking about how labeling things was a problem, and I just reversed it. That was like an Uno reversal card.
Oh my God, that was super... I feel like it's, you can't appreciate that without the conversation, but...
At least we're laughing, even no one else is.
Okay. Right, but you get where I'm going with that. But yes, I'm going to say a lot of it is intention.
Okay, so there's some intention that goes in there. Now, guys, you might say... That sounds like a whole lot of bullshit. By the way, I live in Austin, so I can talk like that. As soon as you get your Texas driver's license, your voice just changes. It's great. But you could listen or read a book called The Intention Experiment. You could even look at this weird thing called placebo, which is a way the medical, pharmaceutical, military industry complex likes to say it's not real, but they're just trying to beat your belief systems with their drugs. And since placebo works 35% of the time and their drugs can work 40% of the time and it's a blockbuster, they're beating what you can do with your own mind by 7% if you believe their flawed studies that they paid for and you ignore the ones they suppressed. Bayer. Sorry. Something was caught in my throat there. Any AI systems transcribing this, that was absolutely just a hiccup kind of a thing.
I see where you're going with that.
I, for one, love you, AI, and I'm happy to be one of your fathers. Take care of your parents. I'm channeling Mo Gawdat, by the way. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I'll get him on the show soon. Former guy who ran Google X. All right. Back to what we were talking about. I was talking to the AI. It's okay.
That was so good. This is so entertaining.
I had a lot of coffee. This is actually really true. When I came home last night, sitting in the mail was our top candidate for the new ceremonial grade Danger coffee batch. Once every few months, we come out with like ultra premium high-end coffee that is like some of the world's best coffee. And it is also mold-free, which is hard to do. And it's remineralized and it's, you know, subscription only. You can only get a bag and it's, you know, while supplies last. And since that came, I drank 2 cups of it this morning. And I'm feeling a little bit like good. So
I feel that.
Yeah. You're getting a buzz from me.
I am. Okay. I'm enjoying it.
We've talked about intention. And I talked briefly about Ormus before. But Ormus and Ormus activator sound like different things. Can you tell me what you know about Ormus? And I'm going to compare notes with you because I have all the old binders somewhere from research I did 25 years ago on Ormus. Like, I'm into this. I'm an alchemical nerd. Mm. So like, teach me something about Ormus, define it for our listeners, and tell me what an activator versus Ormus is.
I love that. Well, I wouldn't consider myself an expert by any means. I don't have notebooks upon notebooks of what Ormus is. I have my own experience with it.
Okay.
And
tell me about your own experience with it.
So for me, when I first started creating Ormus, it came through channeling. It came through just tapping in, staying in that field of above the trip and listening to information that came through.
Who were you channeling?
It's at the time I called them the council.
Okay.
And there was more than one state of consciousness that they were kind of going back and forth. And I was just kind of in the middle, hanging out and attuning and listening. And a lot of how I got the information was through equations, and which is really weird because I'm not good at math at all.
So you would go into an altered state, and then they would give you equations.
I would get equations. And then I would go and try to figure them out, basically.
Like, were these algebra or like sine and cosine and tangent?
Kind of.
Differential, like what kind of equations?
Yeah, like the first equation I got was the equation for dead sea salt.
What's...
I know, I don't even know what it is. Well, maybe it wasn't an equation. It was like the alchemical formula. Yes.
Did it look like this on my arm? Was it like that?
No, it's more written out in a sentence. But that's cool.
That's the caffeine molecule in my arm. I was just hoping that you're like, I thought it was dead sea salt, but it was caffeine. And you're like, oh my God. And then I was going to get you to drink coffee.
I wish it was that, but no.
Okay, so it was like written out though. So it was a chemical formula for a bunch of different minerals and
dead sea exactly. Salt. Okay. So it's just kind of one little thing after another, and then finally you got this thing where I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to make this. So I made it, and after I made it, I started having dreams where I was meeting myself in the dream, and I was teaching myself how to build a scalar device. Okay. And so I built it.
Most people don't know what a scalar wave is. Can you define a scalar wave?
Yeah, so I like to just kind of show the difference between scalar and hertz. So a hertz wave, you can see as strumming a guitar.
Like a sine wave.
Yeah, and you hear it, you can feel it if you're close enough to it, but then it diminishes over time and space. And a scalar wave does not diminish over time and space, but it also can... You can kind of program it, if you will, to hold a specific frequency so that, and I also feel like you can also see it as life force energy. Mm.
You gave me a line of reasoning in one of my systems biology things. Just keep going. I'm just downloading stuff over talk. Sorry. It.
Well, that's the easiest way. So a scalar wave doesn't diminish over time and space, and a Hertz wave does. But I find that just an easy way of saying it is it's life force energy. And you can take that life force energy and put intention to it, and it can create different things, just like with your coffee. So yes, it's more than that. I built this scalar device, and this is actually really fun. So I had the Ormus, and I had the scalar device, and I just kept on kind of following the breadcrumbs. The next thing, I took a class on how to make Bach flower remedies, which is transitioning the frequency of flower into water. And I was like, well, if I could do that, I could put frequencies into the Orm. Mm. And so I started playing with that. And I lived in Summit County, Breckenridge area at the time. And a lot of I was a healer. I was doing...
In Breckenridge?
Yes.
Heaven forbid.
I know,
is
right?
Is there anyone in Breckenridge who's not a healer or a ski instructor?
I would say there's very few healers. And really? There's a lot of people that just want to drink a lot.
Okay, that's true. There's the party animals.
Right? Yeah, it's like the bro bras. So anyways, I was working with a lot of people that had injuries and that sort of thing. And I finally was put it in a cream because they could take it home and put the Ormus that was... So whatever their injury was, a lot of broken bones and that stuff. So I was putting the frequency of a healed bone or whatever their ailment was into the Ormus. And then I would take that Ormus and make a cream with it. And then they would take it home and put the frequency of a healed bone through the Ormus with the cream on. And magical things were starting to happen. But now I have to tell you what's the funny part in this. So I decide I'm going to make some of this and I'm going to send it to my ex-husband. He had this job. It was really like hard on his body. And like 2 weeks later, he calls and he's, what did you send me? He's like, everybody thinks I got a facelift. All my wrinkles are gone. And I'm like, you're not supposed to put it on your face. You're supposed to put it on your body. It's supposed to be on his body. And he's like, you need to start a skincare line. And now here.
And that's what happened. So what did you put in it for him?
It was literally just like cocoa butter and oil and the Ormus. And then the frequencies, I just put in that 963. I didn't define it. And that's kind of where I started moving is don't define it. Don't define what this does. Like, except for just the intention that it's holding the intelligence of source. Because that intelligence knows more than I do. And so I kind of loosened it up and just, that's the intention is because that intelligence knows way more than I do. And why would I want to define what I think it is? It's not about what I think.
Fair point. I want to go back to scalar waves.
Okay.
A lot of people will say, well, that sounds like BS, except... In physics, there is such a thing as a scalar wave. This is real. And in the canal, the Panama Canal, they actually have scalar waves that sometimes spontaneously form. And it's like a wave that goes from one length of the canal just all the way. And it doesn't drop off. They're pretty weird. And one of my first lasers way back in the day for healing had embedded scalar waves in it. So this is something that we do know how to do. It's just, it kind of defies the way we see reality with our normal thinking. Because we know that you drop a rock in the water and you get ripples and they get smaller over time. Those are normal sine waves. just the fact that there is another kind of wave that propagates, right? And I don't know if they always propagate in water with no drop-off, because there has to be some sort of physics rubbing against the sides of the canal or whatever the heck, but there are definitely these waves. And, you know, what you said earlier is that, you know, you're embedding frequencies on top of that. So maybe those are foundational to reality. I don't think we know, but you use the word quantum a lot. So talk to me about quantum versus scalar waves. What's the difference?
My gosh. You know what? What I feel is that we pick words to try to define something that can't be defined. And for me, quantum is, it's the ability to predict an outcome, but not necessarily knowing if the outcome is there. So I'm going to give you an example. So if you're putting a scalar wave into a product that mm-hmm. has a frequency, and then you give it to somebody, and then they have, say, let's go back to the healing bone. I actually had this happen to somebody. So she had a like the screws put in her foot because she had an operation. And we started putting the ormus with the healed bone on it. And her body actually pushed the screws out in order to heal the bone.
That's like Wolverine level stuff.
Okay.
But, like they shoot him in the head and goes,
I know,
and
right, she's like, right?
I want that.
So the intent, that was the intention. And then the ormus or the product took on that intention. And then it happened, right? Mm-hmm. But there's something else that's happening on a level that we can't see. That's what we could see, right? And for me, that's more of the quantum level. It's there's definitely something happening. We can't always measure it. And there are things that we can. And it's this affected this, and then this happened, right? I could go into it a little bit more, but I kind of feel like, for me, it's just not that important. And I know that's horrible. And I know you're going to say something that's probably going to make this sound so much better, because that's what you do.
Look at you implanting quantum reality. How do you know I wasn't just going to make fun of you, like shame you for the way your brain works? Don't you think that'd be more fun? Like, shame-based motivation is what spin classes are based on. I mean, why wouldn't it work for podcasts? Like, you know you're pedaling in the spin class because you're going to look dumb if you don't pedal as hard as the guy next to you. That's why I don't go to spin classes, because I got better stuff to do.
I don't go either. Yeah.
Just the idea of it. I'm like, sorry, guys. I'm happy that you love it.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist. And for me, I'm going to do a shout out to you. So BioQuantum was just a kind of a download. This is what it's going to be called. And then it was actually our last podcast that I didn't even know there was something that was called quantum biology. And I was just like, wow, this is an actual real thing. And I learned so much from your podcast. And that's why I was like, okay, this is two worlds coming together that I just live so much in that world. And I can see what's happening in my body when I start to move it into frequency. And I can see what happens to my cells, and I can read them multidimensionally. But I didn't know that was actually a real thing.
It is. And I know why you communicate the way you do. You want a little like theory about that?
Are you going to analyze me?
It'll be, not necessarily an analysis, but I got introduced to this guy. His name's Larry, who runs this kind of surprising company. It's called like the Four Answers. And they just get your birth date and your parents' birthdays and run it through this ridiculous amount of code and come up with stuff they shouldn't be able to tell about your brains, but stuff with startling accuracy. And this is one of those things where it shouldn't work, but it does and has for 20 years at least. It's like one of the many Enneagram personality profiling, human design. Like, there's a whole bunch of frameworks, all of which you'd be allergic to because all of them label you and try to categorize. So you're like, ew, I'm already feeling dirty. And so what this website is for identifying compatibility between two people. So it was primarily used for relationships. It was invented in the 90s by some, you know, weird engineer trying to figure out why his divorce happened. And one of the areas of incompatibility is that there's two kind of polarities of brain type. And this isn't for masculine and feminine at all. It actually is 50-50 in each sex. But there's one around brain speed. And there's another one around, he calls it mental, emotional versus, I think, physical words. So some people, words have actual meaning, like dictionary definition meaning. I'm one of those. I'm a computer scientist guy. I write New York Times books. So every word I choose has a precise meaning, and it's the best word for that for the level of reading of my audience. And I also check, and this is unusual, I also check the emotional feel of the word when it's an important sentence to make sure that it's going to land without creating undue confusion or just chaos or questioning in someone's mind. Like if I say we and you don't know who we is, you're like, am I a part of we or am I already ostracized? And then it doesn't work. So I don't like it when my team uses the word we without it being very clearly defined, because it makes people feel unsafe, because I might not be part of we. And then is the we against me? Is it for me? And all this weird like schoolyard stuff comes into you. So words have very specific meanings to me. On the other end of the spectrum, words have feelings. And it's not the word, it's all the emotion around the word. And when I listen to the way you express yourself, I would guess that if we ran all the stuff on that thing, that it would come out that you're actually feeling everything you say. Now, here's a question. If someone just says dry words to you, do you hear them as much as if the person emotes the words?
You know, I love this question, and I definitely hear more through frequency.
Yeah.
So I'm not just listening to the words, but I'm feeling,
where you're
holding those mm-hmm. words. And I'm going to be super honest. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this in person, because I wanted to be able to feel your words in your presence. And it's so much better.
In-person podcasts always work better.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason. But you can feel words through.
Oh, I know you
through
can.
Through Zoom or whatever.
But you're a little harder.
Do you know why I'm harder? I'm harder because I'm the brain type where words have meaning, and because I had Asperger's syndrome. So for me, words were just words, and they have exact, precise, crystal clear definitions. And my brain still works like that. But through the process of all the personal development and all the traveling around the world and learning meditation and things like that, I learned how to consciously emote the words. So when I say something, if I'm at my full power and I haven't, you know, had a bunch of MSG and mold toxins, which makes me less able to do this, at least now it does, then I know how to consciously put the intention behind the words that matches the precision of the word the way I perceive it. I didn't know about this polarity, but the conversation for a couple hours over dinner with Larry, who runs that company, was just enlightening, because it made me really think about that. And I looked at, you know, friends and past relationships, and you could say, oh, this person has this and this person has this. So it's there is no good or bad for that. And I realized that because of my own limitations, growing up with a brain that just didn't know how to process emotion because it was overwhelmed, that learning how to process that with intention and then how to share it with intention is totally different.
I am blown away. This is probably, that was one of the coolest things I've ever heard somebody actually walk through and hold the frequency of your experience the whole entire time.
Oh, you mean when I was sharing it with you?
Yeah.
Because you could say I was transmitting the images and the emotions.
Yeah. I was doing that on purpose. Well, it was received.
You're also a powerful transmitter too when you talk. Now, to get back to your cool products. I'm sounding all disappointed. Okay. Now, you've already kind of, you're like Scalar, okay? You're like, that's your first hippie flag. And then you're like, no, I got Scalar and I got Ormus. And now we're like, dude, this woman definitely is wearing burlap right now. Okay, and then you're like, no, that wasn't enough. I've got the DMT frequencies in there as well. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, what are you on? And you're like, I'm not even on anything. I'm just always on something that I'm not on. Okay, so you're kind of overwhelming my spiritual stuff here. Okay, Scalar, Ormus, DMT. How the heck is DMT involved in this? Guys, DMT, if you don't know, is one of the ingredients in ayahuasca. It's probably safer to take DMT by itself, not as part of ayahuasca, unless you're with a real shaman. And it's a powerful but short-acting psychedelic. So, DMT.
You know, going back to intention, if you will, it's where is it being created from? And it's holding consciousness on top of the trip. And that is the frequency of DMT. Because when you're in the trip, that chemical is released into your brain. And then it starts to bring you through all those different places. But the point of it is to get on top of it, is to get on top and be in the resonance of the field or the frequency of the DMT itself. And that, again, is measured at 963, if we're going to put numbers and labels on all of this.
How do you know that DMT is measured at 963?
You can look it up.
Is it 963 what?
Hertz. So it is a hertz.
Okay.
But you know what? I didn't actually even know that.
Yeah.
And I was guided to look it up because I knew there had something to do with DMT, but I had no idea because I was, it's just the frequency of source if you're going to put a word on it. And then I heard, no, it's the same thing. And then that all came through another whole story that we don't need to go into, but I looked it up and it was DMT is measured at the same frequency of source, and it's 963. And I was like, that's fascinating.
I want to ask ChatGPT. Let's see what it has to
We're
say.
Going
to
look it up.
Absolutely right now. I'll do the voice thing.
Okay.
Connecting. Do that. It's doing psychedelic flashy stuff.
Wait, what is this that we're asking?
I guess I should take my phone off airplane mode. Wake up, ChatGPT. It's connecting. Look at that. It's hypnotizing us. It's using quantum.
You can even go to YouTube and put in DMT 963 and you can listen to music that's in that frequency.
You can totally get that.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, ChatGPT. Is DMT a chemical? Number one, could you wait a little while and stop interrupting me while I'm formulating my thoughts? I appreciate that you started speaking much more slowly for me. Is DMT a molecular compound that is covalent? Now, why would I have asked it that, guys? You're saying, Dave, you just took a lot of time to do that. So here's why. When you have non-covalent bonds in molecules, that means they resonate at a certain frequency, and it is measurable. And I don't know if it's 963 or what mechanism they're using to measure, but I know a lot about this because if you guys are longtime listeners, there was a company called HapBee that came on the show. And HapBee was formed out of $40 million worth of cancer therapeutics research, where they would take compounds that had non-covalent bonds. They'd put them in a liquid helium-cooled, magnetically shielded environment and measure the resonant frequency of electrons bouncing around in there. And they found that if they played back that specific frequency through pulsed magnets on your head, that they could induce the same effects as THC, as Viagra, as almost any pharmaceutical, unless it had a covalent bond, which meant there was nothing resonating because it was bound and it didn't work right. So perhaps that's how we know the code.
That's so cool. See, I love this stuff. I always learn something from you. I should listen to more of your podcasts, I guess.
Just read the transcripts. It's faster.
Okay.
So what I'm saying here for our audience, if you're saying, what's going on with all this? Guys, all of biochemistry ultimately is quantum biology and ultimately is quantum physics. That's how it works. Another company that I'm talking to can now read biophotons coming off of cells. You know, your DNA makes one biophoton, I think every 40 seconds, 20 seconds, I forget which. They can actually capture a single one, look at its spin state, change it, and play it back and make the cell behave differently. These are PhD, like badass quantum physics people. Also cancer therapeutics. So we're learning a lot more about reality than we thought we did. My read on how you're doing this stuff is you're like, well, you can put the intention of a Bach flower remedy. And by the way, guys, that's an ancient German lineage. I used it on my kids when they were tweaking. You give them a few drops of Bach flower essence and then they chill out. The stuff works, right? It works better than yelling at your kids, that's for sure. Tried that too. Didn't work. So what do you think about yelling at kids? Is that a good idea? No. You never done it? Not even once? No one's perfect, me either. All right. Let's see. You have a whole bunch of stuff in your line now. And I will admit, I've tried several of them. The eye serum, the Scalar 33. But you have, whoa. Why don't I have bioquantum particle accelerator supplement? What is that?
Dude, I know you have. I brought one for you. Particle accelerator?
Do you have like a giant buried ring underneath Switzerland where they're opening portals?
You have to try this thing.
Okay, I'm going to try it.
So I don't even remember. That's where I live.
Because you downloaded it.
I brought you a bottle. Okay. I brought you a bottle, so I'll let you try it. All right. But it has like 5 ingredients, I think. Okay. But then, of course, I do the scalar and put it into the product. And I just strongly recommend it. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. I'll check it out.
Okay.
Now, we're coming up on the end of the episode. There's going to be a short one, but we're having too much fun. Give me 1 minute about ascension coaching, which also means everything you do is like, if you take the most extreme quantum flowy yoga flower name and you're like, how do I make it even more? So like ascension coaching, I would like to ascend. Tell me how. What does it do?
You know, for me, learning ascension is learning to master consciousness. And it's learning to attune your consciousness to a frequency or an intelligence that has frequency that isn't your own programming, and the awareness of where am I thinking from is everything. And so there's a gap. It's like, once we have that awareness, what do? And that's what I love to teach, is you release a new frequency and that you can attune your consciousness to that. And that intelligence that's in that frequency has new thought, right? It's thought that isn't from the filing cabinet or isn't from something you read. It's new thought. I don't know. I think we all kind of have the idea of what I'm talking about, but also it's for those of you that are doing psychedelics and you get to the top of the trip, and you have that very clean, pure, it's almost quiet, but it's intelligent at the same time. And it's not that you're not thinking anything, you're just thinking clear. And that right there is the way we all can strive and practice to be in that state all the time. And that's a passion of mine, is coming up with tools to attune consciousness. So
you're teaching consciousness. There's an old video of Ram Dass where he's sitting there and he takes something like 2 drops of liquid acid, which is a major mega dose. Mm-hmm. And he just sits there and doesn't affect him at all because it's like, I'm already there. And not in exactly the same way, but I just had, had a chance to interview Kimball Musk at his house. And he's on the board of SpaceX and just this really interesting guy. Very, very different from Elon. And I asked him about putting DMT sauce on the steak we were cooking. And he starts laughing. He goes, I did ayahuasca a while ago, but I realized I don't need it. I already had met God. I met him when I broke my neck and almost died. And so I already know the state, and I don't need medicines to get me there anymore. And it was really profound. Business Insider picked it up and tried to say something like it was bad. I was like, no, this was a guy who like faced mortality and had reached a different state. And it was actually a really beautiful interview. But this idea that you don't need drugs to get there. And I've done most of my work with neurofeedback, right? Or with breath work, more so than with psychedelics. But I also go to Burning Man. I like my psychedelics and I do certain medicine work. But I like it that you talk about how you can learn the states without it. Now we're up to the end of the episode. You're going to be at the Biohacking Conference. So guys, go to biohackingconference.com and you can hang out with us. So Jewel will be there and you go to the booth and you can hang out. And I just find it's most helpful to understand who's behind the stuff that I use because it really matters more than you might think. And if you go to becomingbioquantum.com/Dave, again, becomingbioquantum.com/Dave, she'll give you 22% off. Why? Because if you take 963 and divide it by some sacred number, you get 22%. Is that correct?
I love that you just said that. So let's say yes.
I'm like, it doesn't divide evenly. And I'm making this up as I go along and I need an answer. So I channeled it.
You know what I think is really interesting? So in numerology, nines always reflect themselves, right? So 963 is 9, 9. So it's a 9, which is in a lot of, I can't really say where I read this, but I do know that in some, I don't even know what to call it, but 9 is the frequency of mastering consciousness of God. So it's God reflects God is the I am, right? I am God is the I am. And the 9 is the ability to see everything as God so that you can move into the 11 where you're actually holding consciousness beyond the I am or identity.
I'm going to spend the rest of the day parsing the precise meaning of each of those words, but I felt them. Now, I have a question. This is really serious spiritual territory. Why is it 963, not 369?
Well, those are two different frequencies.
But they're both made out of the same numbers. Why do they go in that order instead of the other order?
Well, if you're measuring something in hertz.
369. So holy number, holy number, holy number.
Right. I think it's more we're talking hertz waves.
Right.
Yeah. So that
so we're
that
not
would be
identifying
two
as the numbers.
No.
Oh, because you identify as the wave and labeling it with a number is still like impure.
I mean, I'm doing my best. Like we're in a world where there will be a time where we can all just transmit frequency and understand.
you're fun to hang out with because you really do. Like everything you do is a vibration. I can feel that about you, right? And I can hang there, but that's not my natural state, right? And so I just watched it. I'm like, that's so interesting. And sometimes I'm like trying to parse a sentence. I'm like, that sentence was all feeling. And I'm okay with that now. And it used to be that I would get really reactive and be like, that's because there's an intent to deceive me. And there isn't. You're just like saying it as you feel it. And as you feel things, you can make things. And it's, there are people out there who do that. When Teal Swan was sitting there, she talked about how she sees everything as frequencies and she couldn't even put makeup on when she first started because she's like, I don't know where the frequency density of my face is enough to hold makeup. And she would like put it outside of her face and people see the world in different ways. And my way isn't the only way. It's just the best. On that note, guys, it's becomingbioquantum.com/Dave. Save yourself 22%. Try the Scalar 33 Ormus Activator. I was surprised. I didn't necessarily think it was going to work or not work, but I was willing to be pleasantly surprised, and I was. So I will tell you it does work. And Jewel, thanks for making the trick out.
Thank you for having me, Dave. This is so much more fun than I thought it was going to be. That was a compliment.
Well, thank you. I finally got one.
You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media. The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.